This is an exclusive presentation from Federated Media, Unholstered.
Welcome back here to Unholstered. Hopefully you're having a great weekend, everyone. My name is Kayla Blakesley, and I'm just one of your hosts here on Unholstered.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sophia Rosales-Catina. I'm a captain with the Fort Wayne Police Department, and welcome back to the show.
We are on part three of youth violence. If you've missed part one, if you've missed part two, you can go ahead and download the Unholstered podcast. Anywhere you download a podcast, just search for Unholstered. Sophia, I am so glad we are not done with this youth violence series yet, because I have been surprised, and not in a good way, to be honest, about some of the feedback we've received thus far. And I have already stated my claim, I believe, on episode part one, I should say, about why we should all care about youth violence. But there still seems to be a great lack of concern or care about youth violence. So I'm glad that you have brought some more guests in today to discuss this topic of conversation, because I would love to ask them and put them on the spot. I say them because there's two guys in studios here, about why we should all care about youth violence.
I would say I'm surprised that there's a lack of concern, but I'm not. I think this is just in general.
Is that normal then? I mean,
unfortunately, I think it is. Not normal to me, because I care about everyone.
Yeah.
even the ones that are committing the violence, I still care about them because they're part of our community. Mm-hmm. They're part of who my officers have to go and deal with. So if they're violent and have these tendencies to kind of go off, then it's going to be problematic for other people as well as my officers. So my concern is, yes, for everyone involved. And I want to state, while we're seeing headlines with a certain demographic of youth, this is all youth. Just because they're not, you know, shooting guns doesn't mean that other demographics aren't violent and fighting or suicidal or, you know, taking pills or doing all sorts of other things that are destructive to themselves. So it's a concern for me all over the place, for not only this community, but for my officers as well.
So who did you bring in today to continue the conversation?
Yes. Today I brought in two gentlemen that work very diligently with the youth of this community, all demographics. And I brought in two, they're both directors at the Y, Renaissance Y. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
My name is Mario Merez, and I'm the youth and family director at Renaissance Point YMCA.
And I'm Amos Norman. I'm a district executive director for the YMCA.
How did you both come to be working at the Y and doing what you do?
Prior to the Y, I worked at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Fort Wayne for 10 and a half years. Just have a deep love for working with youth. Then I had an opportunity to kind of go to the YMCA, and the mission was just a little bit more broad as far as the reach. So getting out of just working with youth, but working with individuals of their entire lifespan. And that was just really appealing. And being in the heart of the community, I felt like I had an opportunity to do something impactful at Renaissance Point. So I kind of made that move.
Something even bigger. I mean, because the work at the Boys and Girls Club is also pretty, you know, impactful and big.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes.
What about you, Mario? How did you land there?
So I actually grew up inside the YMCA. As a little kid, I went to the Old Fort. I grew up in Eden Green, so it was just right there. And then when I was in high school, I went to Southside High School, and they offered me an internship when I graduated. So I went to summer camp at the YMCA, and I just kind of never left. And so I did like before and after care, summer camp, preschool. I was a lifeguard for a little bit, just did random things, and then finally made up some team programming, and now I'm full time.
How do you know these guys, Sophia?
We've worked with them. They do our Y summer camps, our police camps in the summer. So they invite us into the Ys that we were doing all over, but we've now just done one because it's a lot of work, and we just don't have time and resources anymore. So we've now settled on just Renaissance Point as having our official yearly police camp, where we bring in youth. And we take them through various stations. So they get like a crime scene station where they get to diagram a crime scene. They get to take fingerprints. They see all our equipment. They get to talk about people. Sometimes we'll bring in a detective. She'll talk about just how you're supposed to act as a good citizen and good behaviors, and, you know, what you should be doing, what you should not be doing, how to respect yourself and others. So we just have several stations like that where they get to come and they get to enjoy the day. They feed them lunch, and we just get to spend a day with the youth.
Okay, so you two, we'll just start with you, Amos. How we're on the topic here of youth violence. What is it that you do at the Y, you're kind of your day-to-day, that immerses you in this world?
I have a very privileged position to where I can step out of my office and really immerse myself in the community. I make it a point to dress down, be out in the, be out where the people are. Mm-hmm. And what I like to see with the kids is I like to just make sure that they're seen. I think that one of the issues that we're running into is it's really easy to get into trouble and mischief if you think nobody sees, yeah, or you think that your actions don't matter. So I make sure that I try to get to know everybody's name that comes through the doors. I'm speaking to them, asking them questions, and I'm following up on that. One of the things I love to do is every single child that I see, I ask them, like, hey, you know, how are you doing? How are your grades? Mm. That's so easy for me to remember. I don't have to remember exactly what the grades are, but they know when they see me, I'm going to ask about it, mm-hmm, and it matters. So, you know, I think it's just little things like that, you know, just showing attention, showing that you care, mm-hmm, being consistent is huge as well. I don't think that they have a lot of consistency. So we just want to make sure that we're that place for them. You're always going to be seen. You're always going to be acknowledged. We're always going to say something to you. We're always going to talk to you, and your presence matters.
Yeah. As the youth and family director, I work with kids from like 6 months to 25. And I say kids because a lot of them went through the programming that we offer at the Y, and they just continue the contact, and we help them when they graduate. Like, we have a kid that's in the Army now. We help kids like get apartments and look for other jobs or stay in school or move into dorm rooms and things like that.
So they don't age out at 18 or anything like that.
No, well, not at our
Mario
Y.
Mario never did. He never aged out.
I never aged out, so they're not aging out. So they get to, but then even just the high schoolers, what we get to do is now I'm kind of blessed where I get to go to schools. I get to go to Wayne, Southside, and Snyder High School. We have a pass where we can just walk around, hang out with kids.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it doesn't even have to be kids in our program. We get to just walk around the schools and just check up on random kids. So now I'll go into Snyder, and I'm talking to kids that I don't even know outside of Snyder High School. Like, it's just kids that we meet there. So it's really neat. Like, that's just some of the things we get to do.
When both of you are talking to these kids and you're making these connections, I mean, what are you hearing from them? What are some of their struggles that they're going through that I'm not saying that they're involved in some of this youth violence, but that may spur into youth violence down the road? I mean, what are they dealing with?
I think a lot of it is like the depression. A lot of kids are, I don't want to say socially awkward, but I think COVID does play a big part in it. So like when they took that gap, because there was a year where they were like out of school, and then they like went to every other day, so they didn't even know half of their classmates. And then it was like you had mask on, and then you didn't, and then you did again. So that's a conversation I had last week with one of the kids, and he was like, I kind of shut down because I had to go through that in sixth grade or seventh grade and stuff like that. So I think just them being anxious all the time because they went through such a pivotal moment in their life at such an awkward time for everybody.
That's so crazy you just brought that up. So I attended an event over the weekend. It was at Bishop Dwanger, which is a local school here in town. It's a Catholic school.
You look beautiful, by the way. I saw
Thank
those
you.
Pictures.
Thank yeah. you. And there was this young girl. She's a senior, and she's graduating this year, obviously, from Dwanger. But she's the keynote speaker of the event that I was at. And in her speech, that's exactly, Mario, what she talked about, was that COVID year completely, like, wrecked her. Because she had to go home, do school from home for quite some time, and they came back and had these alternating days. And she said, on these alternating days, I was going back to school, and none of my friends, and she said her cousins, weren't on the days that she was going back to school. So she found herself kind of being a recluse and came into herself. And
isolation. It was huge during COVID.
Yeah, I think more indirectly what I'm hearing is a bunch of people that can't deal with their emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
They just can't. They can't take it in and process it correctly. I think a lot of kids right now, they're acting like, it's one of those like, but that wasn't my intent. You know, I think that they're feeling like they're not heard or they're misunderstood. And when you are having those types of feelings, it comes out really weird to individuals that don't fully understand. So that's what it is. I think that it's just a whole bunch of misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot with they're not feeling like their elders or the older folks that they're supposed to be able to depend on are consistent. They just don't feel like they're going to really take the time or care, you know, and that's kind of why, you know, Mario being there is huge as our youth and family director, because he does spend that time. He spends that time with them within our walls, but also he's at the schools, and we're trying to serve all kids, not just the ones that come through, you know, come through the branch. So it's really just, you know, to kind of bring it back full circle, not being able to rationalize your feelings and believing that no matter what you say, people aren't going to understand it.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that one step further, though, on the emotional thing, because going back to when I went through yoga instructor school, yeah, we did a lot of the emotional work. And I will tell you, as an adult, and I still do this work with first responders and a resiliency program that I help teach. As adults, we don't even know what our emotions are. Mm-hmm. We know what we're expressing, but that's not what the original emotion is. So my expression may be anger or may be depression, but those aren't the emotions that got me there. It might be jealousy or envy or
isolation.
Yeah, it could be all sorts of things, but it just manifests in the anger. So unchecked emotions will lead you to lash out at things like someone telling you to turn your music down. That wasn't a, I'm going to beat you up because you told me to just turn my music down. That is probably years of buildup of unreleased emotion. And that person probably doesn't even know what emotions he needs to release.
Yeah.
So this is way beyond. And COVID made that worse with the isolation, the segregation, everybody to their own homes. Think of all the kids that had unreported violence, all the domestic violence of between spouses or people in relationships that went underreported because there was no one to see someone injured. Mm-hmm. There was no teacher to say, where'd that bruise come from? There was no person at your work saying, where'd you get that black eye? And you couldn't tell anyone.
And there's no Mario at school saying, hey, how you doing?
No one walking the hall through there. So I think as adults, if we can't handle this stuff as adults, how are we expecting these kids to handle it? And when you throw in single parents, working parents, just you're gone from home, the kids suffer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my own, I mean, I have to work, but then I'm missing things from my own kids. And then that makes them feel badly, you know, but me being able to recognize that because I've done the work myself, that helps.
Well, this goes back to that original question that I said of why is there such a lack of care that people are like, youth violence, I don't have to worry about it. And for me, it kind of goes back to that. The 16-year-old eventually becomes a 20-year-old. The 20-year-old eventually becomes a 30-year-old that becomes an adult that, again, doesn't really even know where those emotions are rooted from or stem from. You just said it, Sophia. You yourself as an adult, I'm not going to age you here. You're older than me.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. You had to do a lot of work to dig down deep in those yoga classes to sort through where some of it was even coming from. That's always my argument of people who don't care or have a lack of care is that these young people are eventually our future leaders. They're our future decision makers. They are future adults living in the same society and down the road. So let me ask you two that question, because I'd love to get your response to that. Again, I say you're kind of like the boots on the ground, you know? You're talking to these kids, you're talking to these people. Why do you feel like there's such a lack of care for our young people and on a grander scale of youth violence?
I think sometimes people don't know what to do, so they don't do anything.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, actually.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, well, I'm not going to hurt the problem by jumping in and being haphazard. So they just stay still. I always say that's like the rabbit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we see you, though. You know, you always see the rabbit. Mm-hmm. He stops moving, and you're looking. It's like, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of what happens with individuals that are dealing with this situation. The way that I'm trying to combat this now, though, is I'm trying to put the power back into the youth's hands.
But how do you do that? Do you have certain programs within the Y, or how are you doing that?
So one awesome program that we have is a partnership. So the Y partners with Fort Wayne United as well as Parkview. And what we're doing is we're doing this late night basketball program. So when crime and homicide are statistically at their highest points, we're doing the Safe Haven basketball. And before they touch the court, they're having a consultation with a nurse, and we're checking blood pressures and talking to them about some of these things, right? But before we play basketball, I always have a speech for them. And it always starts with, we need a collection of young people that statistically are supposed to be shooting themselves right now and hurting and harming each other. We need positive energy where a giant collection of individuals are doing the right thing, making the right choice, so that we can change the narrative. So that happens. That's happening. We do it every other month for a full month. So we're there. Doors open 7, and then they close about 12, 12:30.
Wow.
And it's this amazing program, but it's really all about them. One of the great things is I don't have any referees. We had 23 teams last time.
What?
No referees. And I let them know prior to, hey, you're going to have to be able to figure it out. If there's some kind of issue that goes on the court, I can't have any kind of drama. We got to figure it out. We got to be civilized about it. No one gets to leave angry. Mm-hmm. We're going to address these issues. And you are responsible for the person to your right and to your left. So what are we going to do, fellas? And they show up. And there is very minimal.
You gave them ownership of it, yeah.
That's what it's about. And I say all of that, and I put it on them because I want to give our young people their flowers. Mm-hmm. They're doing a phenomenal job of showing up and honoring the program and honoring the space. But I've made it bigger than just the basketball. I'm letting them know, like, you are important to the narrative. We want to make sure that these numbers and statistics go down. And they can't go down unless you decide to make better choices.
So is it open to, like, any young person? Can they come and play when you guys do it?
It is. So we try to target that middle school through mid-20s.
Okay.
Now, we do take them a little bit young, and we take them a little bit old. And it's all about positive energy, really. That's the prereq for you to come in there. Positive energy, and we got to leave the drama outside.
How long you guys been doing that?
Part of that program now, helping to lead that for about 7 years now.
Wow. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
And I, you know, you said we're trying to change the demographic or the numbers of people. I got to say this. I know people hear shooting, homicide. This is a fraction of our community.
Yeah.
Majority of our communities, even my Southeast communities, are good, hardworking people who just want to earn a living, raise a family, and do well. And then we have a fraction of that community that doesn't. Same as other quadrants, mm-hmm. Northeast, Southeast, Southwest. They all have the same stuff that
same
we
other
do.
Other towns, other cities, yep.
Yeah, it's not just those people over there or those non-white people over there. It is everyone. Mm-hmm. And when... you know, you hear like the homicide, all this stuff over here. But what you're not hearing is how many of the kids in the more affluent neighborhoods are taking pills and overdosing. You're not hearing that on the news.
Or are suicidal, depressed.
Yeah, yeah. Suicides. They're not reported on the news, thankfully. I'm glad they're not. But they're not. But they happen.
Yep.
And they're happening in affluent neighborhoods. They're happening in middle class neighborhoods. They're not just happening outside of people's bubbles. Mm-hmm. You just don't hear about it.
Right.
And that's what I want to make sure that when we talk about people not caring because it's not my neighborhood, there's stuff going on in your neighborhood. You're just not privy to that information because it's not on the local news.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Be careful. Don't throw stones. You live in a glass house too. And it could happen anywhere. We've seen in Kansas City where people beefing end up killing innocent people. We see it at malls. We want to talk about kids and their unregulated emotions, school shooters.
Yeah.
You know, this happens everywhere. Not just in parts of town that you wouldn't go into.
I loved what you just unregulated emotions, right? I mean, that's really what it comes
it's
down to.
It
not
is.
Even for young people.
For adults.
For adults, too.
Look at the road rage.
Emotions.
You're getting mad because someone cut you off that mm-hmm. you're going to shoot someone? Come on. It's not because someone cut you off. It's unregulated emotions, and we need to find a way to get those in check, or we're all going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. As a whole society.
Yes.
Maria, what about you? I mean, there's got to be other programs within the Y, right? What else are you guys working on or doing?
I guess one big program that I've been doing for the past... 8 years, I think, is we've run a leaders club at all YMCAs. So we've started it at Ren Point. And basically what we do is we like to turn all the kids at the YMCA into becoming leaders, not even just the kids like that are in the program. But being a part of the leaders club at the Y, it means that you're truly devoting yourself to becoming a better leader in the community, at school and at home. And we really hold them to all that. They do a lot of community service, so they're also held to do 100 hours of community service throughout the school year. So we have seniors in high school right now and juniors who are going to graduate with like $500-$600 of community service because they've been doing it since sixth grade.
And this is this their like free will to do this and join this program? No one's making them do this?
Yeah, no, this is...
That's amazing.
So it's actually, they have to be invited by a member of the club.
Okay.
And so when they get invited, they come in and they fill out an application that I have. And then from there, they'll turn it in and then they'll go through an interview process because we have a board. So we have a president, vice president, secretary, and a chaplain. And they'll go through an interview process with them. And they'll just ask them, like, not intense questions, but just kind of questions about themselves and, like, how are you in school? Why do you want to do this? And, like, what is a leader? And just, you know, random things like that. And then from that point, then they'll be introduced to the club. So it's not like we make them, like, hey, everybody come sit in this room and come do this stuff. These are kids that truly want to become better leaders.
If someone's listening right now and maybe they know a young person or maybe, I don't know, maybe they want to be involved and do what you guys are doing and be a part of this really great work that you're doing in our community. How does someone learn more or get more information?
Yeah, I mean, we're on all social media, so we're on Facebook and Instagram. But you can always come to the YMCA. We're there, like, every single day. All staff at the Y, all directors at the Y will know about all of our programming. So you can call in anytime. You can call in and ask for me. We'll definitely meet with people.
Do other YMCAs, not even just around Fort Wayne, but like across the country, have these kind of similar programs like the leadership program or the Safe Haven basketball, or are these something unique to our area?
So the leadership program is something that's all around the country, and we go to different, they're called rallies, and we go to different camps like every other month. And we take our kids and we go across Ohio. And we'll stay at other camps with other clubs from around the Midwest. And then there's a national program as well. So it is pretty big, but I don't know about the late night.
Yeah, I think that one, that's kind of unique to what we're doing here with the particular partnerships. Something I'd be remiss if I did not say. Early on when we started this program too, the police department is highly involved as well.
You better mention that.
but what was really awesome about that, I just want to say, is that was an amazing time for us to bridge gap between law enforcement and civilian, right? So that has allowed us to kind of change the narrative as well on how our young people view the police, because they were in there cracking jokes, shooting shots, having a good time. So I did want to make sure that I did say that.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about crime and homicide, and the police are our heroes when it comes to trying to combat those things. Yeah. So I do want to say that they were very highly active in that partnership as well.
Taking it full circle, kind of back to the beginning, you know, we're bringing up this kind of this lack of care concern for youth violence. And I'll give you both like an opportunity, you know, on the mic. What would you say to someone right now who's listening, who still just, you know, isn't convinced, and maybe it's like you said, Sophia, I don't care, it's not, quote, happening in my neighborhood, or like you said earlier, if I don't do anything, it doesn't really matter either way. What would you say to that person listening right now?
Just move.
Yeah.
Don't sit still. If you can't find a bunch of people, find at least one young person and let them know that you see them and that their presence matters and that their actions matter. I think that it's so much easier to get out of bed when you know that people will be missing you if you decide not to. Everybody deserves to be seen. Everybody deserves to have purpose. And the best feeling is when somebody else recognizes your purpose and they acknowledge that. It's just like this fuel that you get. If you think about it, all of the things we get up and do, we do it for loved ones. We do it for people because we know that they see us. So I would say just make sure that you're seeing somebody. Just see someone and acknowledge that their existence matters, they're important, their movements matter, their decisions matter.
And that's all anybody really wants, right? You just want to feel valued.
Connected.
Like you said, like you have a purpose. Yeah.
Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
I think it's important to truly love your community. I love the Southeast.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's important to love your community.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Because we have kids that are part of the leadership program or like our after school program. We have so many different programs at the Y, but we have kids from like Northwest Allen, like so Carroll, Maple Creek, and just stuff like that. Like they'll come down and be a part of the programming that we have at our Y. At late night, we have kids from all over the city, even outside the city, that come and be a part of those programs. So they come there on Saturday night just to come and play basketball and be a part of something big. So just to truly love your community, it means a lot. Like, I want to live in the Southeast for the rest of my life. I grew up there, and I went to Southside High School, and me and my wife, like, we still live in Southeast, and we're looking for a house, and that's the only place that we want to be. I have it circled on my Zillow.
So. It should be on a bumper sticker, though. Like, love your community.
And everyone in it. It's not just people who look like me, or people who dress like me, or people who have education like me, or jobs like me. Yeah. It's everyone. And I'll go, you know, back to what I said before. We were talking about youth violence, and we were talking about homicides and that. But violence is violence. And violence, I believe, against oneself is, to me, part of this. And what we don't talk about, we haven't talked about, is the youth suicide. It's up. We've had kids 12, 13, 14, 10 die by suicide. And that, for me, is part of this conversation, even though we really haven't talked about it. But those are things that are not reported on the news, like our shootings and homicides are. But there's still things that are happening with our youth that need to be addressed and are part of this unregulated emotion things we're talking about. Even those callers that are calling in, it's like, well, this doesn't pertain to me. It does. Mm-hmm. You're just not seeing it in the way you probably need to see it.
We should dive into that next week, because I'm obviously on the local media side, so I can explain a little bit about this, that suicide's not being reported in the news. Yeah. I think that is important for people to be aware of. So maybe we can get into that next week here on Unholstered. If you have missed any previous episodes, particularly the ones here about youth violence, part one, part two, this obviously part three, you can go and download the Unholstered podcast anywhere you download a podcast. Your town, your team, your topics. This is Unholstered.
Thanks for listening to Unholstered. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Unholstered.
Podcasts by Federated Media.